We've got a new topic today, and I'm really excited about it. I mean, I normally get quite excited about God's word, but today I'm extra excited because of the visions and the different things that he's shown me. So today we're talking about when, God, when. When is it going to happen? When is it going to start? When is it going to end? When, God, when? Are we fed up waiting? Is it taking too long to see the answers to our prayer? And are we asking questions like, when, God, when? When will the situation turn around? When will I see something happen? You know, there could be 100 or even 1,000 reasons why we're still waiting on an answer to prayer. Sometimes our prayer depends on us getting our act together, but sometimes it depends on other people. Perhaps we're ready, but others are not. And God won't force anyone to do his will, including us. God never forces us. He's a gentleman. He leads with loving kindness and gentleness. We have to be willing to obey God, that small voice in our head that says to do something. We have to be willing to obey it. And so do other people. They might hear God saying, go to church on Sunday, but they don't come, you know? So we have to be willing to obey that small voice in our head. The only person that we can get ready is us. So first question today, are we ready or not? You know, we used to do that with hide and seek, ready or not, here I come. You know, are we ready or not? God's timing is also a very important factor in receiving our healing. So our first scripture today, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. You know, God has a perfect time for everything, and we must trust him for the timing. You know, when I met Neil, it was not good timing. Not good timing for him. It was not good timing for me. I'd just come out of a 3-year relationship. I did not want to meet anybody else. I wanted a year off with my girlfriends. That's all I wanted. And Neil came sniffing around every night at tea time, could I just add. It was always tea time. There'd be a knock on the door about 5:30, 5:45, and the three of us, me and my two flatmates, would look at each other and go, that'll be Neil. And so we'd open the door, and Neil would come in, and he'd say, I'd say, oh, we're just cooking tea. And he'd go, I can stay. And it was always, I don't know why, it was always leftovers, baked potato and leftovers. He only ever got baked potato and leftovers at our house. So the timing was not good. So when Neil asked me, I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. The timing wasn't good at all, because I just wanted to be on my own with God and with my friends. And then I decided he was drop-dead gorgeous, and that I really fancied him then. And then he was, oh, no, 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 you live on the other side of the world. So our timing was not good, okay? And eventually, after almost 2 years of talking, not talking, going out, finishing it, and all the rest of it, we won't go into it because I could write a book. I'm the next Netflix movie, okay? I could write a book on our timing. It was rubbish, okay? Finally, after about 2 years, God got us to the same place at the same time. He said, will you marry me? And I said, yes, let's do it quick. Okay? So that he didn't run away again. So we had a 7-week engagement, and then we got married. That was it. 7-week engagement. I don't recommend it to anybody. Please make sure it's the right person you're marrying. Do not do it in 7 weeks. Read the small print on the tin, you know? But anyway, we're good to go. God had a perfect time for us. We mucked it up a little bit in the process. But it just shows that even if you do mess up the timing, God can still work it out. He can still turn it around for good. God's got a perfect time for everything, but we must trust him for the timing. You know, having said that, if someone else is delaying the answer by working against God, I believe God will fight on our behalf. Because God wants us to be blessed. He wants his children to be blessed. So if someone else is a problem, we need to pray appropriately into that situation. So I'm going to give you a prayer. You ready for it? It's short and sweet. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's 5 words. This is a prayer that I use often, and it's this. Improve them or remove them. Okay, that is a good prayer. First of all, I make sure my heart attitude is right. usually it's been a work situation, a colleague at work, that kind of situation, and you're really struggling in the work situation. So we'll call this person Fred. Father, I lift up Fred to you right now in Jesus' name. You love Fred. I know you love Fred, and Jesus died for Fred. So I am praying for Fred's salvation right now in Jesus' name. I pray that you'd bring whoever it is into Fred's life to tell him that God loves him. If it's me, use me. If it's someone else, use them. So in doing that prayer, I make sure my attitude is right. And then I pray, Lord, whatever I need to learn from this situation, teach me, because I've still got things to learn. And if they need to learn something, teach them. And when you've done all that, God, either way, improve them or remove them. I have prayed that in situations for my children at school where they've been getting bullied, and clearly that was not God's will. I've prayed it in situations at work where I was getting bullied, and clearly that was not God's will. And I have prayed, Lord, improve them or remove them, and they have. In one situation where there was bullying going on, the person in question that was doing the bullying, they even got removed to another country. Her dad got a job in another country, so off she went for a year and never came back to the same high school. So that was a good answer to prayer. This prayer works. I've seen it. It's a good prayer. I want to look at Daniel today, because Daniel waited for an answer to prayer. And we probably all know the story. He waited 21 days on his answer because something needed to be improved or removed in Daniel's life. A battle was raging in the spirit realm. So much so that God sent the angel Gabriel to Daniel to tell him what was going on. Daniel's prayer had been a really important one. It just wasn't, well, aware the red shoes or the blue shoes, you know. It was a really world-changing prayer. And God needed Daniel to be encouraged and to keep praying and not give up. So he sent Gabriel. And we're just reading two verses. Two verses. You know, these two verses could change your life. And it's in Daniel 10. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. And this is the angel Gabriel speaking. Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Fantastic. Two little verses. And God showed Daniel all that he was doing on Daniel's behalf. He said, this is what's happening, and the enemy is called the prince of, the king of Persia. It's really Satan. The enemy is coming against him in the spirit realm. And God wanted Daniel to know this. And he wanted him to know that he was moving on his behalf. God was not sitting up in heaven with his arms folded, doing nothing for 21 days. Folks, God is not sitting in heaven with his arms folded, doing nothing when we pray. And when we ask him and to come and change a situation. Verse 12 says, from the first day you prayed, from the very first day you prayed, Daniel, God heard and God responded. I want you to know that, Daniel, that I've heard and I've responded. Folks, I could camp here for a week. If we don't, I could just repeat for the next 25 minutes, God has heard you and God's responded. God has heard you and God's responded. God has heard you and God's responded. When are we going to believe it? When are we going to believe he's heard and that he has responded? And this is what God was explaining to Daniel. If we could just grasp this revelation that Daniel got, we would be more victorious in our lives than we've ever been in the past. He's heard and he's responded. On the first day, God hears us and he sends out a response, but it is in the spirit realm. He's a spirit being and he's always doing battle for us in the spirit realm. So here's my first revelation today. Who's wanting a revelation? Ready for a revelation? It's this. There is a response in the spirit realm to our prayers on day one. There is a response on day one. Every time we pray, God responds. Why is that? Why does God have to respond every time we pray? Because the spirit realm responds to the name of Jesus. Spirits respond to the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess in heaven and on earth and under the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And how do we pray? In the name of Jesus. Even little kids, 4 or 5 years of age, God, please bless my hamster. In Jesus' name, amen. God, please help Granny get her teeth in this week. In Jesus' name, amen. We pray in the name of Jesus. The spirit realm has to bow the knee. Cancer has to bow the knee to the name of Jesus. COVID has to bow the knee to the name of Jesus. The spirit realm moves when we pray in the name of Jesus because it has to. Because Jesus won the victory over the spirit realm. But guess what? There's resistance from the enemy. No surprises there. But you know what is a surprise when we actually realize this and was actually quite sad? Is sometimes we believe the resistance is from God. Let that penny drop. Sometimes we believe the resistance is from God, that we actually think God isn't answering. Perhaps he's gone slightly deaf in his old age, or he doesn't care. Folks, the battles against the enemy opposition, it is not against God, because he's for us. And the Bible said, if God is for us, who can be against us? So keep fighting and don't give up. It took 21 days to win this battle, and even the angel Gabriel had to send for reinforcements. It was raging in the spirit realm. Sometimes we need reinforcements. Phone a friend, go 50-50 on it. You know, chuck the lies out of our head. Read the Bible, get a scripture to stand on. And God sends Michael, one of the chief princes of angels, to help Gabriel. So Daniel got his answer to prayer, but they had to fight for it. He had to believe God and not give up. So how will we get our answers to our prayers? Same way Daniel did. By fighting for it, just like Daniel. By believing God has heard and has already responded. But it might not be you that's holding things back. It might be someone else that's opposing God. Someone else is dragging their heels. Someone else is not saying yes to God. There's a time to wait patiently on answers. I had to wait patiently for many things in my life. I've had to wait patiently. I've had to wait decades. It was in 1990. Is that 33 years ago? 1990, God spoke to me. Normally he whispers. This was a big shout, loud and clear, in my head, in the middle of a Christian concert, with all the music and all the singing going on. And I would not have said boo to a goose back then. I would have been sweaty palms and my throat closing up if someone had asked me to get on a microphone. And I'm in the middle of this concert saying to God in my head, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And one word came loud and clear, and it was one word only, and he shouted it in my head, and he shouted the word preach. That's what he shouted in my head. 33 years, and I'm preaching the word of God, but I'm still not fulfilling the vision that God's put in my head and put in my heart to do, but we're faithfully following on for 33 years. Sometimes answers to our prayer take time because we're not ready or someone else isn't ready. But sometimes we need to command mountains to move and we need to fight. Mark 11, 23, another two verses of scripture that will pop your socks off this morning. Whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them, and they will be given to you. So, let's say we've got a mountain. We could go around the room today, and lots of us say, I've got this mountain, I've got this mountain. Lots of us might have a mountain that we need to move. And we're saying to ourselves, oh Lord, when will this mountain move? Now, it doesn't matter if the mountain's financial problems, a relationship problem, a health issue, This scripture will work for us in a variety of situations. So what's the first thing God tells us to do in these two verses? Well, it says, verse 23 says this, whoever says to the mountain. The first thing we need to do is speak to our mountain. Speak to the problem. Command it to move in Jesus' name. Don't repeat the problem to God over and over. Don't go to then meet a friend for coffee and repeat it again. There's nothing wrong with sharing our problem. But if we share it too much and too often over and over, then all we do is create more of a problem, because repeating it is part of the problem. It magnifies the size of the mountain in our minds. And we'll go to our friend and say, oh, Brenda, I need to meet you for coffee. I've got this massive big mountain. I need to tell you all about my mountain. It's a huge mountain, Brenda, and I don't know if God's big enough. I need to go to the mountain and say, listen here, mountain, I've got this God, and he's enormous, and he's more than big enough. And I need to bring down the size of the mountain with the size of my God and not repeat the size of the mountain. We've got a mission statement in our church, and if it's this, are we part of the solution or are we part of the problem? Folks, repeating the problem is part of the problem. Second, in that scripture, it says the person does not doubt in his heart. In other words, don't doubt God. Whatever it is we're facing, don't doubt that he loves you. Don't doubt that his grace is towards you. Don't doubt that his mercy is towards you. Don't doubt he's forgiven you. Don't doubt his ability to hear us or his power to work for us. In fact, it says, don't doubt God's unlimited power. God's power is not limited. Turn to someone today and say, my God has unlimited power. It's unlimited. There's no limit on what God can do. How many times do we pray and then in our head we say, well, I'll see if that works. We'll see if that works. Folks, that is a barrel of doubt stuffed with a bucket load of unbelief. That's what that is. If we think God's not heard and he's not responding, then we're just looking at a barrel of doubt stuffed full with a bucket load of unbelief. And we're thinking, we'll see if that works. That's what we're thinking without realizing it. The third thing in that scripture in Mark 11, it says, if he believes what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him. We have to believe it will happen. And we have to trust God with the when. Instead of saying, when, God, when, how about we change it to, it will, God, it will. The fourth thing in that scripture in Mark 23 and 24, it says, our prayer must be according to God's will. If it's not God's will, it won't work. So there's not much point in saying, can I please win 5 million on the lottery, all right? Because maybe God's not quite into that. Maybe you need to learn how to handle our money first before we win 5 million. So how do we know if it's God's will? Read his book, okay? It's not rocket science. Most answers to everything that we need is in the Bible. Now, if it's not in his word, you can safely assume it's not in his will. Some things are very obvious, like if Marion thinks I'm going to go out tomorrow and rob the bank, okay, we can quite clearly say to Marion, I'm sorry, Marion, that's not in God's will, because the Bible says thou shalt not steal, okay? So it's not in God's will. But other questions are a bit more vague. There's not a specific scripture of which job you should take, or if you should move house, or who to marry, but you can still get scriptures in the Word of God about all of these things. I have a little black book at home, and because this span of this prayer was over 2 years, I have 350 scriptures in that little book telling me to marry that man. Because we're on two sides of the world and we weren't talking to each other for most of that, I really needed God to encourage me. I really needed God to speak to me. So I wrote down everything that he said. And it doesn't anywhere in the Bible say, Sandra, marry Neil. But it does say, trust me, wait and persevere. Do not give up. And it does say things like, this is the man I have called from a far off country, a man to fulfill my purpose. From the east, I summon a bird of prey. Can't get much further east than Australia. And I wrote all these things down and I meditated on them and I kept them in my heart. And then I made a decision and I said to God, if he ever asks me to marry him, I am going to say yes. Okay? And I did. But you will find the answer in God's word. It's always there. You can ask him to open all the right doors and close all the wrong ones. That's another good prayer. Get scriptures to stand on. Ask for confirmation. Don't just say, that's it, God's told me to sell my house with one scripture and go and do it. We need confirmation. And if you don't have peace, don't do it, because God always leads by peace. And if you still don't know which way to jump, good advice is don't jump. Don't jump until you know which way to go. The last thing I can get out of Mark 11, 23 and 24 is this. Believe with confident trust that you have received. So how can we be confident in God? Well, first of all, we can start by saying, I believe you've heard me, God, and I believe you've responded. And the answer is on its way. We can thank him that he's heard our prayers, even if we can't see the answer yet. And that all shows confidence in his power to answer us when we pray. Let's look at Mark 4 in verse 28, and it says this. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. You might say, well, Sandra, what are you talking about? I'm talking about growth, and it's a process of growth. This is the process of growth, and there's a process of growth in almost everything. It seldom happens instantly. The farmer doesn't plant a seed and say, when, God, when? He knows it's going to take time. First we plant the seed, then we see the blade or the stalk beginning to grow, and then a bud might appear on the grain, and finally the full ripe wheat grows. And seeing answers to our prayer is similar. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. We have to be prepared to go through the process of growth. Sometimes it's us that's growing, but sometimes we're waiting on someone else growing. The process of trusting that God's heard and he is answering us, even when we can't see it. So how do we show him that we're trusting him during the process? Well, it's like what I said before. Don't say your prayer didn't work. Keep speaking God's word. Praise him for it already, even when we don't have it yet. It will happen in God's timing, so don't give up halfway through the process. Now, just before I finish, I want to put an injection of teaching right into this spot, right here. And I just want to say right here that I think praying for healing is a totally different process to anything else that we pray for. I don't think that we should have to wait on God to answer our prayer for healing, because God said yes to our request for healing 2,000 years ago, and his answer is still, yes, I love you, I want to heal you. Jesus died for that. When he said yes to people crucifying his son, he said yes to you and I being healed. Now, it can still be a process, because we have to speak healing scriptures over our lives. We have to command the sickness to go. Don't go to God and ask him to move the sickness, because that is asking him to move the mountain. And his word says that we have to command the mountain to move. So God, we have to command the sickness to go, and we release God's healing power. It's his power, but he moves through us, and we have to do the commanding and the binding, and we have to do the loosing. We have to fight the unbelief and the enemy's lies with every fiber of our being. So if we pray for a sore knee on Monday and it's still sore on Tuesday, then the unbelief is going to come straight into your head. Your prayer didn't work, or God's not heard you. It's an immediate battle. But God said yes, and I believe the time for healing is now. When you look at the life of Jesus, in nearly every single case, Jesus healed instantly. He laid hands on the sick and they were instantly healed. And on numerous occasions in the New Testament, it will say, Jesus healed all and every. Every person that was brought to him, he healed. Now, I want to bring the first of two visions. God gave me this vision this week, just in my quiet time. It just quietly popped into my head, and I want to explain it to you. And I saw an hourglass, okay, with the sand falling through the hourglass. And I felt that, and I saw the sand falling really slowly. Normally you look at a, you know, you've got your wee egg timer and it just pours through for about 3 minutes and then the egg's ready. Okay? So I'm looking at it and it's just falling through one grain at a time. And I felt God saying to me, Sandra, each grain of sand represents a prayer that you've made, a scripture that you've quoted, praise unto God that you've said, falling through the hourglass one at a time. So each grain of sand represented a word spoken in faith. A word spoken in faith until the healing is complete by the words that we've spoken. God's not making us wait, but there's a battle raging for our healing. And so if I was to say to someone today, oh, you've got, Adrian's got a sore knee, so we'll pray for Adrian's sore knee. Okay, Adrian, here's your hourglass. There's 1,000 grains of sand at the top, and we're going to pray them through one at a time into the bottom of the hourglass, and it's just 1,000 prayers, and you'll be healed. Sorted. We'll do that. By his stripes I'm healed. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Amen. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And he starts singing a wee song there. And we get the grains of sand to come through the hourglass one at a time until the healing is complete. Now, it depends what battle's raging from the enemy. And we might pray for someone else. They might have 2,000 grains of sand in their hourglass. Because there's a battle raging from the enemy against us. Okay? But God is not making us wait. He already said yes to crucifying his son. That was the payment. The payment has been paid, and we're the ones that need to speak it into being and command it and release it into the spirit realm, and then that releases it into our physical bodies. Now, I want us to note this, because this is the second part in the second vision, that the biggest battle we will ever face when praying for healing is a battle against unbelief. Because every negative doctor's report will scream in our head, God is not listening and he is not answering. But that is not the truth, because God has heard. He answered 2,000 years ago and he said, yes. Yes, the sacrifice of Jesus will be enough. So here's another revelation today. And this might knock your socks off, okay? Our battle is not to get God to move to heal us. It is to get the unbelief moved. Our battle is to move the unbelief. God's already moved. He responded on day one. He's going, got it sorted, Sandra. Jesus was crucified 2,000 years ago. Healing's released in the spirit realm on its way. Just keep commanding the unbelief to go. And then I had a vision. This is probably maybe a couple of years ago, but I want to bring the same vision. And I saw this massive big boulder about 5 foot high. So it's right, like it would completely hide me. This huge big boulder was in front of me. And there was one word written on the boulder, and that word was unbelief. And that's what's stopping us getting the answer to our prayers. But when we hit that boulder with God's word, cracks begin to appear in it. And then I thought about the stonemason. You know, the stonemason's got his hammer and his chisel, and he's wanting to split this massive big piece of rock, and he hits it once, and he hits it twice, and he hits it three times, and there's nothing appears, and you don't see any difference, but the stonemason knows if he continues to put pressure and stress on that boulder, it will split. And he hits it 90 times, then he hits it 99 times, and it still can't see anything, and he hits it the 100th time, and the whole boulder splits apart and it shatters to the ground, perhaps, and there's nothing left of that boulder. Each blow weakens it, but it only shatters on the 100th strike. If there's 100 areas of growth in the process for me to reach my healing, I need to keep going and striking the unbelief and striking the unbelief and commanding the situation to change and glorifying God and giving him all the praise until that boulder shatters, the opposition of the enemy flees, and I see my healing. And it comes through the hourglass into my body. So here's another revelation. Speaking God's truth weakens unbelief. Speaking God's truth weakens unbelief. And then the sand can fall and we will see healing. Okay, here's my very last point. David waited approximately 13 years to be king. Joseph waited 13 years for his dream to come true of his brothers bowing down to him. Abraham waited 25 years for his promise of a son. Moses waited 40 years in the wilderness to be chosen by God, and then another 40 years leading the children of Israel through that wilderness. And Jesus waited 30 years for a ministry that would save the world. If God needs us to wait for something, we are in good company. And if God needs us to wait, it's going to be for something amazing. So we can stop asking, when, God, when, and start commanding things to change and loosing the power of God and praising him that he's heard us. Because God listens and God responds to our prayers, and the when will soon be here. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up.